Learn how to get into ASADA, an MBA program committed to doing good and doing better. Where were you going to learn it? During this interview with its admissions director.
Welcome to Admission Straight Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. Your host is Accepted's founder and world-renowned admissions guru, Linda Abraham. At Accepted, our mission is to get you to that unforgettable moment when you read your acceptance email and shout, "Yes, I'm in!" Confident you'll be attending the perfect program to help you launch the career of your dreams.
Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining me for this, the 362nd episode of Admission Straight Talk. Before we turn to our guest, I want to invite you to our next webinar, The Impact of Your GMAT and GRE, a Critical Piece in Your MBA Application, which I am presenting May 6th at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. If you're concerned that your GMAT or GRE are not up to snuff, this webinar is just what the doctor ordered. We won't be giving study tips, but we will be suggesting tactics and steps that you can use to apply successfully in light of less than stellar test numbers. And you can attend from the comfort and social distance of your home. But please do register at reports.accepted.com/MBA/GMAT score webinar. Today, it's my pleasure to have on the show Judith Pudgebowl, Associate Director of MBA Admissions at ASADA. She is responsible for MBA admissions in Switzerland and the Middle East for ASADA. Let's learn more directly from our guest. Judith, welcome to Admissions Straight Talk.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm a bit nervous because it's very impressive being here and not knowing exactly who is behind, but I'm really happy to have this opportunity to share more about ASADE Business School, my school where I work, but I also did my master there. So many years ago before I joined as a staff, but yeah, looking forward to answer all your questions for your audience. Thank you.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Okay. Can you give us an overview to start of ASADA's highly ranked full-time MBA program, focusing on what's distinctive about it?
First, very briefly, I would like to explain about the main assets of the school, no matter which is a program. So we were the first business school founded in Spain in the 1958. At that period, Spain was a very close society. And for us, we were always looking what's going on in the US because that was always the last super trendy. So a group of entrepreneurs, well, now we call them entrepreneurs. At that period, we were calling them family businesses. They thought, listen, we need to establish a management school, a business school here in Spain, because we had very good engineering school, economics, but not management. So that's why a group of managers from family business, they decided to create a business school together with the Jesuits. Because they thought, well, we know about management. We have no idea about education. So that's why they wanted to partner with the Jesuits. For example, Georgetown in Washington, they belong to the Jesuits. So the Jesuits, they had a very large tradition creating schools and universities all over the world because they believed that in order to empower emerging countries, it was better through education rather than just doing charity. So that's why they had a very large tradition of creating schools and universities. And I know this is a very grandma story where we come from, but it explains the DNA of the school. We were founded by entrepreneurs. So we have this entrepreneurial spirit, but also we were founded by the Jesuits. So we have this collaborative environment as well. So that was a little bit my brief story where we come from. And regarding the MBA full-time, maybe later on we go through more details, but I want to remember the word flexibility. I think that's one of the main assets, the flexibility of the program, because you can do it in 12, 15, 18 months. And there's many moments of the year where you are going to tailor-make the experience through elective language courses, student clubs, the career acceleration programs, different tracks, study tours. So you can ask many people about their experience and they will all say something different because there's never two MBAs that are exactly the same. And of course, Barcelona location is also an asset.
Wow. Okay. Thank you. That was excellent. Now, ASADA's, well, let's go back to Barcelona, which is kind of what you close with. Barcelona is a beautiful city. I was actually supposed to see it next month, but we're in the middle of the corona lockdown, so I'm not going anywhere. And I had visited it when I was in college, and it is just a gorgeous, gorgeous city. But it is not known as a business center in the same way as London, New York, or Hong Kong, and not even probably as Madrid in Spain. How do you address potential concerns about Barcelona not being a major business hub like those cities if you want to pursue business studies?
Well, I don't agree totally with that, because Barcelona, it is very well known in the startup environment. For example, we have also the Mobile Congress every year here. Not this year, it had to be postponed due to the situation. But yeah, there's many startups here because it's a location where it's easy to attract talent. So it is an important hub for startups. Many technological companies, they also have here a subsidiary. It's true that compared to Madrid, they will have more headquarters, big corporations, that's true. But Barcelona, we always had this entrepreneurial spirit. We have a very large tradition of family business, maybe more small, medium size. But for the startup environment, Barcelona, it is a reference, at least in Europe. And it's true that mainly students, when they come to Barcelona, I have to be very honest, it's true that their main goal is not maybe staying in Spain. They take the opportunity more to have international experience. While they are here, they can learn Spanish, and that opens the world to all Latin America. So I think also Spain is a good connection with Europe from the geographical point of view, but also with Latin America from the language point of view. So honestly, I think that yes, when many people is considering MBAs, we have two other schools in Barcelona, well, in Spain, another one in Barcelona and one in Madrid, IESE and IE. And I always say that for me, they are not competitors. For me, we are a hub. So our goal is that when people are Googling where to do an MBA, that Spain or Barcelona, it's also in their mindset. So don't forget there's two other very big important business schools. We are all different with our own DNA and different focus. But I do think that Barcelona and Spain, they are a reference. And it's true that they're mainly students. They might not all stay here. So I can't remember now exactly the figure. Something like 10% they will stay in Spain. The other ones, it's more an international experience in their careers.
Now, ESADA's tagline is do good, do better. What does that tagline mean to you?
I don't want to get too long. So let me explain a sentence of our dean in one of the graduation. I like the sentence. He said, we don't want the best managers of the world. We want the best managers for the world. So yes, we are in a business school. We don't work for NGOs. We work for companies. We need to be sustainable from the economical point of view, but always with ethics and always trying to give a positive impact to society. So that's a little bit our DNA as well.
It's probably also part of the Jesuit heritage.
Yes, exactly. That's part of our heritage, as I explained before. So this collaborative mindset, willing to help each other, to learn from each other, and understanding that even if we are working in business, always trying to also at the same time to have a positive impact in the society. Yes.
Right. Society is going through a tough time now. You and I are both speaking from home. Before we started on our call, we were warning each other that there might be children's voices being heard, your children, my grandchildren. It's a tough time now. I assume that ESADA's education has moved online. Everything has moved online. How would you address potential applicant concerns that they're going to be paying for and expecting and hoping for a traditional in-person program, but receiving an online education, which usually is less expensive?
Well, here we have two. One is with the program running now. So in fact, we sent all our students home even before our Spanish government was asking all schools and universities to close, because we have a very international students. So we thought it was safer. So our main priority was, okay, what are we going to do now? Very proud of our professors. We didn't have to cancel not even one single class. We went into online. We are using Microsoft Teams. I don't know what other schools are using. We are using Microsoft Teams, and it's working very well, honestly speaking. And I'm especially proud of our students because they didn't complain. We didn't receive any single complaint. Totally the opposite. We are still receiving emails thanking for the quick reaction. But it's true. We are not an online school. In fact, what we are very proud of is the diversity of our cohort and this team spirit. So that is our main DNA. We are now working to 100% remotely, but to 100% because our main goal is to start September normally. But it's true that now it's very uncertain, the situation. We have good news coming from China. They already went into normal life after 2.5 months of quarantine. In Italy, the number is still terrific. It's starting to slow down. We are now locked down. I think today is day number 13 or 14. I a little bit lost the path. So our hope is that in a couple of months, the situation will improve and we can start normally September. If that doesn't happen, of course, we will decide if it's better to postpone because we are not an online school. So we typically work on campus. So that's why people that is now in process. So far, we are doing the admission process as normal. But of course, in a couple of months, when the situation is more clear and we are about to decide if we're going to start normal or not, then we will decide. Of course, priority is always safety. That's out of doubt. So let's hope we can start normally September. If not, we will decide if it's better to postpone because the online is perfect solution for now that we're in the middle of the program. But if we have to start online, probably the best solution, I think, would be postponing.
Okay. Now, as an admissions director, I mean, there's a lot of rumors about the GMAT and GRE, okay, yes. Their availability. There's rumors about summer melt being much higher. There's rumors about schools going more to the wait list. What are your concerns as an admissions director?
Well, we received an announcement from GMAT saying that they are working very hard to launch GMAT online mid-April. I know it's a very difficult challenge because there's a lot of security behind an exam online. So I really hope they can manage. Maybe it will not be mid-April, but I guess it should be in May for sure. GRE, we were announced a couple of days before that they already in few countries started already offering the online. I'm sure that they are doing a small test in the more critical countries, but I'm sure that they are going to improve that. In the meantime, it's true that we will have this 1 month gap. And we know that our students, they are very stressed for this process. So in our case, as an alternative, we already had an alternative SADE test for only the executive MBA, not for MBA full-time, not for master's, but for selected candidates that they already have a good GPA, a good profile, good CV, and that we think that now we don't want to stress them. We are an alternative offering this SADE test, but only as an alternative and only for a very good selected candidate. And of course, it will not be for scholarship purpose. Unfortunately, for scholarship, our main criteria is GMAT or GRE. Mm-hmm. So scholarships will have to be postponed during with this 1 month. But I'm sure that GMAT and GRE are working very hard to offer a solution very, very soon.
So are you extending any deadlines or anything like that?
Yeah, for sure. So normally, if someone asks for an extension of the deadline, we need the approval from financial aid. So the admissions directors, we are a big team of divided for all the globe. So we were all empowered in order to give a 1 month extension without any approval from financial aid. In 1 month, we will decide if this is something that we have to continue or not. But at least for now, for sure, we are giving a 1 month extension because we know that everybody is now a little bit stressed and it's normal. It's a big investment in not only in terms of finance, but in terms of time as well. So, of course, we don't want to push nobody now to taking a quick decision without the clear situation.
Let's go back to more good news, okay? You mentioned the flexibility of a SADIS program. It has a 12, 15, and 18-month options. Which options are best for which kinds of applicants?
So yeah, the 12, 15, 18 months, why different timing? So 12 months is a core program. It can be 18 or 15, depending if you want an internship or an exchange. Or more electives. Well, in any case, a fee is the same for 12, 15, 18. It's the same fee.
Really?
That's why I say, honestly, 12, I think you're not taking the most out of the experience. 18 nowadays, it's a very long stop in your career. So in general, the trend would be 15 months. And 15 months, in that case, I always say, that though that you have more local profile, that you're looking more international exposure, probably I would recommend you the exchange with one of our 30 plus schools worldwide. and do the exchange. But of course, if you are looking more to change radically your industry, your functional area or geographical location, honestly, I would probably recommend you more the internship. So that's why I would say I tend to recommend more the 15, because you take more out of the experience, but it's not such a long stop in your career. And I would choose either more electives, but normally I would recommend more the internship for those changing industries, or exchange those that they want more international exposure.
Great. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. What are ESADA's career placement strengths? How are people going to benefit in terms of career growth?
So we have a big department for career services that, of course, when you're doing this huge investment, that's your main concern. We do have some candidates sponsored by the company, but that's few. I would say majority, they are doing this effort on their own. So yes, their main goal is to finding a good position afterwards. So career services is something very crucial at ESADE. So the idea is that they are going to help our students, not after graduation, that could be too late. The idea is that they will start helping students from day number one of the program. So that's why we have what we call CAPS, career acceleration programs. There's one specifically for pharma, from consulting, is that one is very popular, for technology. So the idea is that with these career services, they are doing these CAPS more oriented in some specific industry of your interest in order to get prepared from day number one. And these CAPS, it will be a mix of more theoretical content, but also meetings with headhunters or managers from that specific industry. And of course, also career services, they are always open. They have what we call hotspots. So one day per week at lunchtime, you can pop up there without any kind of previous appointment, and they will help you how to improve your LinkedIn profile, your CV, how to face a job interview, which should be the typical salary in your industry, in your country, with your experience. So yes, they are going to have candidates from the very beginning. That's why our cohort is 180 students, and that's quite boutique size in the MBA world. And we don't want to be bigger. We want to grow maybe through other programs or whatever, but MBA, that's our target number. We don't want to be bigger because it's a big family. We really want to have the chance to get to know each other and help them one by one.
Got it. So I like to start with the end in mind. So it wasn't quite starting, but I asked about placement first. Now let's go back to the beginning. What is ESADA looking for when it evaluates applications to the program?
Yeah, so it's a mix. One third is your past. So your GPA, professional experience, international exposure, number of languages that you speak, and so on. But that's what it is. We can highlight it, but we cannot change it. One third is your GMAT or GRE. I personally, I get very stressed with GMAT, so I understand people that they don't like this exam, but you know what? It's the only objective part of the process, because GPA, we are not comparing apples with apples. There's some universities that a 2.9 GPA is amazing, and another university, 3.4 is super standard. So GMAT, the positive part of GMAT is that something you can work from now on. So GPA, if that was low, you cannot change it. But good news, you can do an effort and improve and have an amazing GMAT. And then, so one third is your past, including GPA and professional experience, one third GMAT. And one third is personal fit. And that's why we have an interview with all candidates, because on the application, on the paper, it can be an amazing candidate. But maybe during the interview, you realize that maybe this is not the right program, or it's not the right time, or it's not the right school. And we, if we think that the match, it's not in both directions, that we're not going to fulfill their expectations. And sometimes even we would recommend another kind of program or another kind of school, because we want to fulfill all of their objectives. So personal fit, it's very relevant, and that only in the interview you can really get to know each other.
Now, you talked a lot about the importance of the GMAT. When you said GMAT, did you mean GMAT or GRE, or is there a preference for the GMAT?
No, in general, we have more people coming with GMAT, but in our case, we accept both GMAT and GRE. In fact, for example, I specifically am in charge of Middle East, and in Middle East, GRE is much more popular. Okay. In our case, no difference. We accept equally. I say more GMAT because
it's more common. It's more common. I do the same thing.
Yeah. No, we equally accept GMAT and GRE both. Yeah.
Okay. And in the personal fit part of the one third, that's such a nebulous kind of hard thing to understand. What makes personal fit? Can you describe a little bit?
Well, I always explain the same example because that was super clear. So this lady, she was Romanian, living in Frankfurt, a physics PhD, amazing GPA, amazing GMAT woman, because we want to have more women, woman of the audience, please. Okay. On the paper, she was perfect, the perfect candidate. But then during the interview, her main purpose was to go from public industry, which was in a research institute, to private industry, but she wanted to stay in Germany. And she was like super process oriented. Even having a fluent conversation was difficult because her answers were yes, no, you know, super German.
Great.
Honestly, I mean, if that's your... why don't you study in Germany? I mean, maybe in the ranking, that school will not be so top in the ranking, but in Germany, they will have a better network than, sure, than us, and it will be more process-oriented. If you choose a SAVE, you have to be aware that answers will not be ABC, because we are discussing case studies, and the answer is not ABCD. We might have different opinions, and we are all, so I always say business is more an art than a science. So we thought that she would not enjoy the experience at the SAVE. So we, and that was a very clear example. There's many, but that was something very clear. So really understanding their motivations and really understanding how can a SAVE help them to grow.
Sounds also like a lot about cultural fit. And I don't mean German versus Spanish. I mean the school culture.
No, exactly, exactly. No, no, I have many German people. So please, the German people.
What are the language requirements for the program? I know you obviously it's in Spain, but conducted in English or has an English option?
No, no. The language is only English. So we do require some English kind of proof. So it can be TOEFL, TOEIC, IELTS, Cambridge. Or if you studied your bachelor in English or you live 2 years in an English speaking country, you would have a waiver. So English is the only language. We do offer Spanish courses once you are here, but we don't require any other language rather than English.
Okay. What is the ESADA interview like?
Well, we are different associate directors, so I assume we all have our different style.
Okay.
but in any case, we always do the interview once the application is submitted, because the main purpose is to really understand the application, everything is clear, because the admission committee, they will have the chance to read the application, recommendation letter, GPA, GMAT, and everything, but they don't have the chance to meet personally that person. So that's why I always say that the associate directors, we are a little bit partners in crime. We are their representatives. So the main purpose of this interview is one, understanding very well their motivations and expectations to make sure that, yes, we are the we have that personal fit, and also decide together which are the main strengths that we're going to highlight in front of the admission committee. So that's the main purpose of this interview.
Got it. Normally it's one-on-one in person, and obviously now it's Skype, Zoom, whatever, video conferencing, right?
Yeah. We have a WhatsApp group. We are called ourselves the Travelers because we are traveling all year around. And we try as much as possible to do face-to-face interviews during our trips. Of course, now everything is online, but still during normal, number of applicants, we have same number as last year this period. So yes, nowadays with Zoom, Skype, or FaceTime, we can do face-to-face even if it's online. So that's how we are doing now the interviews, yes.
Okay. Any last piece of advice for applicants to ESADA? Let's say aiming for the 2020-2021 application cycle. You have two intakes a year, right?
No. We have one.
You have one.
Okay. Always in September.
Okay.
And yes, as I told you, we are working with the supposition that we are going to start normally September. That is our main goal. I would say when deciding the school, I always recommend not only speaking with the people from the admissions team, because we work at the SAVE, we have to say how wonderful we are. although I studied at the study as well, so I try to share my experience as a student. But yeah, I always recommend them to also talk with alumni, because they were like them 2 years ago, thinking, sure, oh, is the right program, the right school? And there might be some questions like, oh, are the exams difficult? Are the professors good? How is living in Barcelona? There's some questions that they will feel more comfortable with really someone rather than an alumni or a current student rather than an admission director. So if they want to talk with alumni, they can check LinkedIn, but they also can ask us to connect with them. So I would say that the best is, yes, is to check, of course, the website, brochures and everything, and do a little bit your comparison. But final decision, I think you really need to talk with current students or alumni, and so they can share the experience. That would be my piece of advice.
Great advice. Thank you. What would you have liked me to ask you that I haven't asked you?
I always finish my interviews with candidates with the same question. Honestly, I think you did an amazing job. Very good questions. In fact, we are now doing many Q&A online sessions. So some of your questions, I might copy you if you don't have copyright.
Be my guest.
Okay, so I think our main topics, at least to have the big picture about SADE, I'm sure they were covered. I hope your audience will know a little bit more about the SADE Business School. And of course, if you want to share with them my contact details, I would be more than happy to solve more one by one questions.
Actually, so my next question was, where can listeners and potential applicants learn more about SADE's MBA program? That is the last question.
Yeah, so we have our website is www.sade.edu. Although it's true that that website, you can get a bit confused because we also have law school, BBA, executive education. But in the SADE Edu page, you will find MBAs, and there you will find the MBA full-time and the executive MBA. Right. But so Google SADE and they will find it.
Great. Judith, thank you for providing the URL. Again, we're going to link to it from the show notes. And thank you also for joining me today. We're going to include links in the show notes, as I mentioned, at exhibit.com/362 to the SADE MBA admissions page, as well as to the webinar I announced earlier and related articles and podcasts. Listener, thank you too for joining Judith Puchbo and me for the 362nd episode. If you find the show worthwhile, please subscribe. There are lots of subscribe links at exhibit.com/362. Make sure you don't miss any future shows, be they with admissions directors, professors, current students, test prep pros, or alumni doing great things. Thanks again for coming. This is Admissions Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.